Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is October the 14th, 2016. Less than a month to Election Day. Hard to believe. Less than a month to Election Day. And the battles between the candidates couldn't be more insane, more, I don't even know what words to use. In all my years, I don't think I could ever recall a campaign for the presidency or any significant public office that even approaches the rancor and the madness of this campaign. So it's kind of hard for all of us to keep our eye on the prize, keep our eye on the ball. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. Really, what's at stake with this election? Because America truly stands at crossroads. My program, ever since I started, has been focused on the nexus primarily between immigration and a host of issues, threats, and challenges that confront America and Americans in this post-9/11 world. As a New Yorker, my hometown as well as my country was attacked on that dreadful day. I had been before Congress prior to 9/11, testifying at a hearing about the nexus between immigration fraud, failures of the immigration system, and the threat of terrorism. So to see 9/11 play out up close and in person was unbearable. I think anybody who was in New York on that dark day probably still suffers post-traumatic stress. America has not been the same. The world has not been the same. And yet, the issue of 9/11 almost never gets raised with all of the arguments about whether or not Trump is a serial groper. Or what Bill Clinton had done, which I thought was a far greater significance, where he was actually charged with rape. I mean, amazing stories that are out there. And you listen to all this nonsense that we're being fed by the media that doesn't want to talk about immigration, and they try to portray it as a minor issue. The pollsters do it, too. And, you know, I've been writing consistently about it. And my point is that we are being hammered. We Americans, irrespective of political leanings, are being hammered by the pollsters, the politicians, and the pundits. And that's the reason for my program, to provide my perspectives on the immigration issue in a way that I believe you will not find anywhere else. And it's not based on ideas that I may have had, but based on 30 years of experience with the former INS, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, and to the end of providing information both to our fellow citizens and to our political leaders, so-called. I write for a number of websites. I'd very much like for you to check out those websites. First of all, my own personal favorite, my own personal website, naturally, michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R. For many years, I've been affiliated with Californians for Population Stabilization, located in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California, great place to visit, especially in the winter, trying to get a message out there about failures of the immigration system and the impact it has not only on California, but on the whole country. We are a nation of 50 states, and every state is getting hammered. California, I guess, was one of the first to get really slammed. And it was more obvious to some people, perhaps, because they share the border with Mexico. But as I always like to make note of the fact, we actually have 50 border states, and we probably have an illegal alien population in New York State that's not much smaller than the one in California. You know, New York has international airports, a seaport, and lies next to the Canadian border. So we have 50 border states, and what has happened to California certainly happens to all of America. But in any event, I write for their website. We're going to talk about one of my articles that they just posted. And their website is CAPSWeb, C-A-P-S, CAPSWeb.org. I ask that you check them out regularly and routinely. I've been writing for them for years. And my latest article was published yesterday, The Gathering Storm Clouds, FBI Director Comey Warns Terrorists Are Heading Our Way. So we're going to talk about that. I wrote about a similar, or about the same issue, similarly for Front Page Magazine. Very proud to be a regular contributor, a columnist, author, however you want to describe that, for Front Page Magazine, sponsored by the David Horowitz Freedom Center. My most recent article for Front Page, Election 2016, The Threat of Immigration Anarchy Hangs in the Balance, Opening our doors to Terror. And they posted that just a couple of days ago on October the 11th. So let's get into it if we can. Our borders, our immigration laws, are our first and last line of defense against international terrorists, against criminals from other countries, fugitives from other countries, spies and human rights violators and war criminals, aliens who would take the jobs of Americans, or aliens who would depend on costly safety net programs that they should not have access to. They are not Americans. Also, our laws are supposed to protect us, our immigration laws and our borders, from aliens who suffer from dangerous communicable diseases or are severely mentally ill and are prone to violence or are sex offenders. And those laws have absolutely nothing, zero, to do with race, religion, ethnicity, none of that. It's purely about making one distinction, the distinction between people who are citizens and people who are not. And the term for a person who is present in our country but is not a citizen is an alien. And that is not something unique to America. Every country on the planet uses a similar term to alien, foreigner, however you want to describe it, to describe an individual who is not a citizen of a country but present within that country. And it is not an insult. And I've written about this previously, that it was Jimmy Carter who started this nonsense. And it's not about being politically correct. I really have to disagree with so many people saying, well, we're being politically correct. Donald Trump keeps talking about political correctness. We're not being politically correct. Pardon me, this is Orwellian. This is about the artful use of language to confound efforts at understanding the issues. That's what we're really looking at. This is Orwellian, and this is about Newspeak. It's about creating words or using words that mislead, confuse, obfuscate, make it impossible to have an honest conversation. And when you think about it, the other side has to do this because their position is contrary to law. It's contrary to common sense. It's contrary to the findings and recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. And it goes against morality. And the arguments that we hear are astonishing. We need to be compassionate. Folks, let's be honest with each other. Exploitation is not the way you show compassion. Employers who intentionally hire illegal aliens hire them for only one reason. They know they can get away with paying them substandard wages under illegally dangerous conditions, often deadly conditions. That's what this is about. And if you dare say, wait a minute, we shouldn't be allowing illegals into the country, you're a xenophobe, you're a racist, you're a hate monger, you're a nativist. I don't know, what other terms can we throw out there? You belong, obviously, in Ms. Clinton's basket of deplorables. Basket of deplorables. Americans who are concerned about their future and the future of their children and their grandchildren belong in Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables. And before somebody out there says, well, this guy Cutler is probably some right-wing whatever, I'm a lifelong registered Democrat. I'm a labor guy. My dad will always be one of my biggest heroes, my dad and my mom. And my dad was a construction worker. He was a plumber, a tradesman, as he used to like to say, plumber by trade. And what we are doing is undermining Americans who are within the trades. We're also undermining professionals. Within the past couple of weeks, outrageously, McDonald's has fired 70 American accountants. We now have a shortage of accountants now that they fired them. So, of course, they're filing H-1B visas to bring in accountants from other countries. You see, this is the lie, and it's so easy to prove they're lying. You don't need a PhD. You don't need an IQ of 500. When companies lay off, fire American workers, American professionals, and then run around saying we have a shortage, they created the shortage. They fired experienced, qualified people. And they love the work these people are doing because these people very often are told that if you want your severance package, which is a lot of money, then you will train your replacement. Well, if they thought these people were so incompetent that they fired them, why the hell would they ask them or order them to train the replacements? It's obvious. The people that have been working for them were working loyally and effectively. They amassed years, in some cases, decades of experience. And the reward was to get a pink slip, to be told you're out of here, so that they could bring in somebody from India or elsewhere who will work for dirt cheap wages, not be as competent, but that's what they do. And they're using H-1B visas to bring in people that work at a lower level. Meanwhile, the H-1B is supposed to be for the geniuses, the most brilliant of the brilliant. But they've got to be trained by the people that were fired so that they could take their place in that office. And no one ever stands up and says anything. And I don't care what network you watch on mainstream television, any one of the networks, they describe those of us who want our immigration laws enforced and our borders secured, they describe us as being anti-immigrant. And the people that want anarchy in the immigration system, people to get lawful status, no capacity to interview them, no capacity to do a field investigation. They snuck into the country in the dead of night. They didn't undergo any kind of a vetting process. The people that are advocates for those illegal aliens are called pro-immigrants. How in the world are you pro-immigrant when we have a legal process that I support, and just about everybody who wants secure borders support? It's a process that is the most generous in the world. Under our laws that I support, that I spent a career enforcing and administering, we admit approximately 1 million lawful immigrants every year. We naturalize hundreds of thousands of new citizens. Many countries won't even let you naturalize if you weren't born in their country. We naturalize more foreign nationals than any other country under the laws we support. But if you support those laws, you are accused of being anti-immigrant. And I got to tell you, I don't care if it's Fox News or NBC or CBS, they all use the jargon pro-immigrant, anti-immigrant, pro-immigrant groups demand comprehensive immigration reform. That was the headline on Fox News just yesterday. How in the world is it pro-immigrant to take millions, maybe tens of millions of illegal aliens, give them lawful status, and tell the world that those people who take that outrageous, dangerous position are pro-immigrant? What is pro-immigrant about that? Why in the world should we have a legal immigration system if you can come here any which way you like and then be offered by the Republicans a pathway to lawful status and by Hillary and company a pathway to U.S. citizenship? The law says that if you become a citizen, or to become a citizen, you're supposed to undergo a background investigation that involves good moral character. Now, you may not know this. Good moral character goes well beyond running fingerprints. You could have bad moral character or lack good moral character without ever being convicted. I'll give you an example. An alien seeks to naturalize. Agents are supposed to go out and interview the neighbors. You can't do that when you're naturalizing hundreds of thousands of people. So we've overloaded the system. It has no integrity at all, which is how terrorists have been naturalized. And we're going to get to that in a moment, how that happened. They're supposed to go and talk to the neighbors. So if the neighbor says, yeah, Charlie Brown over there is a real good guy. I know he was born in Belgium. He's a gentleman. Whenever I see him, he waves at me. He pets my dog and everything is great. But he's got a drinking problem. And on Friday nights, when he gets his paycheck, he usually stops at this bar. And we know there are prostitutes operating in the bar. And then he comes home in the middle of the night. And I've heard some pretty bad screaming matches between old Charlie and his family. And one day, in a drunken rage, he threw his son's dog out the window and the poor dog died. Then he slapped his wife around a couple times. But no matter what anyone says, she won't go to the police. But goodness, this guy, when he gets drunk, is a real vicious SOB. Well, let me tell you what. If we did an investigation in the old days and we heard that from several neighbors that could corroborate it, and maybe the police were called a couple of times to disturbances like that, he would not be naturalized. He lacks good moral character. That was the idea behind giving citizenship, that we carefully vetted them. And even with that process, we found that after the Second World War, Nazi war criminals managed to game the system to become United States citizens. And for decades, they lived here in the lap of luxury until eventually the folks in charge of doing those Nazi investigations uncovered them and belatedly put them in jail, deported them from the United States, denaturalized them. And we're still seeing those cases, people who were involved with human rights violations all over the world coming to America, and then years later we discover that they lied. That's immigration fraud. In fact, I've just written a major piece for a wonderful organization. They published The Social Contract. You can also find my articles on that website and within their publications. But that's what we're talking about. And if you dare suggest that we enforce the laws that way, immediately the accusations start flying, the nasty language flies. Hillary Clinton comes out and says that there are people who are afraid they won't have a place in Donald Trump's America. Well, if Hillary Clinton was honest, well, that's kind of like saying if the moon was square or if the sun was to rise in the west. But if Hillary Clinton was honest, she would know that illegal aliens should have no place in America either. But that's not her goal. Her goal is to take down our borders. And one of the emails was very clear that when she gave a speech to a bunch of bankers and Wall Street types, she said, well, you got to have two faces, you know, talk about being two-faced. The public can't hear this, but I'm with you. We don't need those stinking borders. You know, she didn't quite put it that way, but that's what she said. I envision a world of you know, no borders, no borders. The commander in chief of the United States wants a country with no borders. A country with no borders cannot be defended. I've been writing about this forever. The 9/11 commission was so crystal clear about it, that border security is an important element of national security, but it's never been seen that way. But they go on and say, but it must be made a component of national security. Donald Trump has articulated that point. And I wish he would stay on message with all of these issues. You see, the Navy does these great commercials, and I love the military. I have nothing but respect and admiration for Americans who are in the U.S. Armed Forces, irrespective of which branch. But the Navy has this great commercial, and I'm sure you've seen it, where there's concentric circles of naval personnel in various garb, pilots and divers and so forth. To get to you, they got to come through us. No, they don't. No, they don't. In the Second World War, the Nazis sent us saboteurs on U-boats, and they came ashore at Long Island and in Florida, and they were summarily caught. They were put on trial. Most were executed. And two of them, I believe, were given lengthy jail sentences. One guy life without parole, the other 30 years. He was a naturalized citizen. He came back after he learned everything he could about America so he could attack us. Is it that different from what we're seeing with the ISIS terrorists and Al-Qaeda terrorists who go back to Syria or the Middle East for training and then they come back here to commit acts of terror? The world hasn't changed. It's the same problem, but we deal with it very differently today. Today, Hillary Clinton, the woman who's running to be president, says that if you run that border, you're now entitled to citizenship. Chuck Schumer makes the same point. Chuck Schumer, the senator who goes out there railing about how when people trespass on landmarks or critical infrastructure in the United States should be prosecuted under a federal law that he proposes that would make such transgressions a five-year felony, when he talks about illegal aliens trespassing on America, suddenly they become sainted, and under Chuck's thinking, or lack thereof, they are now entitled to a path to citizenship. This is so duplicitous. It is so wrong-headed. I don't even know where to begin. But time and again, what do we hear? Oh, you're a nativist if you don't want to welcome the immigrants. Folks, we do welcome the immigrants. As an inspector, being immigrants and welcoming refugees, And back then, we weren't concerned that refugees coming into America would blow us up. I mean, we've often heard it. Oh, my gosh. You know, we admitted refugees after the Second World War. That's right. We did. And we've admitted refugees ever since. And I'm in favor of it with one provision. If and only if you don't bring people in who pose a threat to our survival. And we are. And we are. John Brennan, the head of the CIA, has gone before Congress and warned that ISIS is embedding their terrorists in refugee flows, and they're coming to Europe and they're coming to the United States. The administration refuses to act on that information and, in fact, continues to admit tens of thousands of refugees, shortening the vetting process. And Hillary Clinton comes along and says, oh, the Obama administration isn't doing enough. I want a fivefold increase in the number of refugees. We're going to legalize everybody. Meanwhile, we have 95 million working age Americans not working. We've never had more Americans living in poverty than we do right now. It's been estimated that perhaps one in four American kids lives below the poverty line, even as Hillary does those commercials. Oh, I want our children to have a brilliant future. I want to provide free college to American kids or kids. I doubt she wants to do it for Americans. She'd rather give it to illegal aliens, I'm sure. You see? And what no one's talking about in the mainstream or lamestream media is that if Hillary got her way and we legalized 30 or 40 million illegal aliens, and believe me, that's the number, it's not 11 million, Reagan bamboozled us also. It's both parties. And if I offend people, I'm sorry, but our country's survival's on the line. So you could be offended. I don't mind. Anybody who wants to take umbrage at what I say, have at it. Have at it. But it's both political parties that have created this nightmare for us. Let's be honest with each other. Let's stop posturing and pointing fingers at one party or the other. It's both parties that are doing this to us. Reagan's program was supposed to involve 1 million. We wound up with almost 4 million. We knew that we got into the mess because of a lack of interior enforcement of our immigration laws, and yet Reagan hired no additional agents. This was a prescription for a disaster, and indeed we got a disaster, because it was the Reagan amnesty that led to this disaster that we're in now. It encouraged unprecedented numbers of illegal aliens to head for the United States. And I know some people say, well, Reagan afterwards said it was the biggest mistake. First of all, I don't believe that. Second of all, I don't always agree with O'Reilly, but he made the point that he had done some research and couldn't find a single place where Reagan was quoted as saying that immigration reform, IRCA, the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, enacted under his administration, was a mistake. He's never said that. Some of the cabinet members that worked for him kind of intimated that they felt that maybe he thought something or other. Look, this is about driving down wages to drive down costs to maximize the profitability of corporations. And that's why in the 50s, when CEOs used to earn 50 times what their employees earned, and that was fine. The wheels were humming. Americans were working. Most Americans owned their own homes and had two cars in their driveway or more. Today, CEOs are earning 500 times or more what their employees are earning. And few people can afford a house. Houses are becoming more and more difficult to hold on to. You're seeing more and more foreclosures. You're seeing wages not only not going up, but declining. This is about the willful engineered destruction of the American middle class. Alan Greenspan testified for Chuck Schumer April 30th, 2009, at a hearing on comprehensive reform, referred to American high-tech workers as the privileged elite earning a wage premium. And he said, we could do something about this by making Americans compete with foreign workers, because once they're subjected to that kind of competition, we would eliminate that wage premium and greatly reduce inequality in wages between Americans with skills and those with lesser skills. So think what that means. We will import so many high-tech foreign workers into the United States that we will flood the labor pool with foreign workers and drive down the wages of those Americans who are making much too much money. That's what he's saying, and that's just fine with both political parties. I defy the Republicans to stand up and call out Chuck Schumer and call out Alan Greenspan and take a stand on behalf of American middle-class workers. There's one Republican that does this all the time in the United States Senate. His name is Jeff Sessions. And he is a conservative from Alabama, and he is an American treasure. He is a leader. He is a gentleman. I am proud that he's quoted me from the floor of the Senate when I referred to comprehensive immigration reform as the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act. But where are his fellow Republicans? When you go vote for these people who claim they want to represent you, confront them and videotape it. We have cell phones that have cameras. They're either with us or they're against us, and I don't care if they're with the Hopping Kangaroo Party. Open borders leave us defenseless. The destruction of the middle class destroys our nation and the American dream for Americans and is destroying the U.S. economy. I've been saying it forever, and now there have been articles about how, oh my God, there's a loss of disposable income in America. Well, of course there is. Fire all these Americans. You get them to go from being tax-paying consumers, middle-class folks. They get fired because they can't compete with people from other countries. So they go from middle class to poverty. They go from paying taxes to paying no taxes and depending on safety net programs, which costs an arm, a leg, and three fingers. And you wonder why we're in trouble. And what people may not know is for all the talk about how our schools are incapable of educating the engineers, the programmers we need, the STEM professionals, well, last year, nearly a half million foreign students in America were studying the STEM curriculum at universities across America, and China sends us more of those students than any other country. China. We are developing an adversarial relationship with them. They are building that island in the South China Sea, that artificial island. They have buzzed our planes. They have warned our ships to stay away. They hack into our computers along with Russia on a daily basis, thousands of times a day. And recently, there was an article that was published at ICE about this woman who they described simply as being a Florida resident. It turned out she was a woman from China. And when I looked her name up, I went into Google with her name and I punched in the word bio, as in biography. The headlines blared all over Florida, Chinese spy arrested. Chinese spy arrested. The ICE release, and you would think Immigration and Customs Enforcement would talk about this woman's nationality and how she came here. They didn't. Florida residents. You see, it's not only that Obama doesn't want to talk about radical Islamists, he doesn't want his administration to talk about instances where aliens who were admitted into the United States commit crimes, whether it's acts of terrorism or espionage or rape. So all we hear from the government is Florida resident. You go to the newspapers, Chinese spy. We are allowing people from other countries to easily get citizenship, often without an interview. This is the result of what the Clinton administration did, Bill Clinton. Doris Meisner said that as Commissioner of Immigration, she didn't think her mission was border security. She didn't think her mission was to protect the jobs or the lives of Americans. She didn't think her mission as Commissioner of Immigration was to protect public health. Her mission, she said, she thought, was to naturalize every last alien she could manage to become, make into a citizen. And in 1996, there was a program known as CUSA, Citizenship USA. And the Immigration Service ran 1.2 million applications for citizenship through that system. So quickly, it went through the system faster than you know what goes through a goose, and they couldn't move the applications fast enough. So along comes Doris Meisner, immigration commissioner under the Clinton administration, who says, let's dispense with interviews. Forget about good moral character investigations. We don't even need to talk to these people. We don't need to talk to anybody. And afterwards, it turned out that thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of aliens we naturalized actually had rap sheets. And then a lot of the employees at immigration, see, lots of folks say, oh, those civil servants are the problem. No, they're not. They were outraged. They were angered. And they understood the threat this posed to our safety. So they went to Internal Affairs, the Office of Inspector General, and complained. And, of course, the Office of Inspector General wouldn't dare say this was done to get votes. But they did say that this was malfeasance or misfeasance or nonfeasance. It was a screw-up of monumental proportions. So now we come back to where we are today with the article about what we're not doing and about immigration anarchy, the anarchy that Hillary Clinton promises. It was recently discovered by the Office of Inspector General that over 800 aliens who were here illegally had been issued orders of deportation, now they're called notices of removal. They were under orders to leave the country. They came, for the most part, from countries that sponsor terrorism, so-called special interest countries. And guess what we did? Not only were they never deported, we gave them citizenship, because they filed applications for citizenship. They changed their names a little bit. They changed their dates of birth a little bit. And it turned out that they lost all the fingerprints. In fact, the report noted that a couple hundred thousand fingerprint cards went missing from Citizenship and Immigration Services. So damn the fingerprints, damn the threat of terrorism, damn the law, full speed ahead. So we naturalized 800 odd that they know of, and now they're looking at thousands of more applications, and they're saying, gee, we don't even know how many of these people got citizenship who should have been deported. Shortly after 9/11, if you remember, folks, we were warned that the terrorists only got to get it right once. We have to be right 100% of the time if we're going to protect America. We don't hear that anymore because we're never getting it right. The attack at San Bernardino, glaring example. The attack at the Boston Marathon, glaring example. The knife attack on the West Coast, glaring example. Case after case after case after case after case after case. Aliens admitted into the United States, granted lawful status, in some cases United States citizenship, turn out to be terrorists who go on rampages. And then the media says, oh, they were homegrown because they're citizens. No, they're not homegrown. They're not citizens by birth. They're citizens because they naturalized using the supposed services of an inept agency that can't find its way out of the bathroom with a flashlight in both hands. Don't tell me that someone that's born in another country and becomes a naturalized citizen is a homegrown terrorist. They foisted that nonsense on us with Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber. And even the media reported, the New York City police commissioner at the time, saying, oh, he's a classic example of homegrown. Faisal Shahzad came to the United States at the age of 20 on a student visa from Pakistan. How in the world does that make him homegrown? He got involved in a marriage. Then he got citizenship. And 13 months later, he set off a car bomb in Times Square. Thank God nobody was killed. And at sentencing, the judge who sentenced him to life without parole said, wait a minute, we just gave you citizenship a year ago. You took an oath. It was a false oath, he said. I don't need your freedom. I have Sharia. He did express remorse. He was not without remorse, but guess why he was filled with remorse? He didn't get to kill anybody. He was very upset that he didn't kill anybody. What kind of investigation do you think we did when we gave him citizenship? I'd love to see what the report of the investigation looked like or if he was even interviewed in person. Naturalization provides aliens with the keys to the kingdom. When I testified before Congress, I reported on another problem with this also. What you may not know, and I've discussed this with Michael Chertoff, who told me you don't know how political this is. Yeah, Americans getting killed is political. Too bad. Collateral damage. They're dead. We've drummed up business for the funeral home industry. What the hell? They got to make a living also, right? Because what you may not know is that when an alien naturalizes, he or she can take a new day on the day they naturalize, and they don't even charge extra. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. You're starting your life over. You're taking on a new country of citizenship. You're starting your life again. That's fine. But you would think that their passports would reflect the prior name. It doesn't. So there have been instances that I am personally aware of where aliens have gotten citizenship under a different name, get a U.S. passport under their new name, and then are easily able to gain access not only to our country and airplanes and airports and office and corporate and government and corporate office buildings, but are able to enter other countries on essentially an assumed identity that we facilitate for them. And my understanding is we're not the only country that does this. I've been told that Canada does something similar. Other countries do something similar. Let's remember that a passport is a travel document that is supposed to accurately and completely identify the traveler seeking entry into another country. That's why you get a passport. This isn't, oh, we're going to use it to take out library books. Big deal. This is about letting people into other countries and our country. That passport speaks volumes for the credibility of the bearer. And it turns out that an alien who naturalizes and changes his or her name gets a U.S. passport that only reflects their new name. We are allowing criminals, fugitives, and terrorists to put themselves into their own witness protection program, and we are providing them the documentation they need to do this. And I've talked about this at congressional hearings, and they sit there staring at you, these politicians, scratching their heads, and the dandruff is flying. And I say to them, why in the world can't we add that other name to protect ourselves, to protect our allies? It's never changed. And Michael Chertoff, we both spoke at Chapman Law School, and I raised the issue at the luncheon where he spoke, said to me, Mr. Cutler, you don't know how political this is. How political is it to put an extra name on a passport? Is it too expensive to have a couple of grams of ink used to add an extra name? You know, when I was an inspector at the airport, I will never forget when these actors and actresses came in from overseas, from other countries. These actresses, these glamorous women, sometimes would have 5, 6, 7 prior husbands. They actually had extension sheets on their passport to add all the names that they had used when they were married for 3 years, 2 weeks, 5 months, whatever it was. You know, they're serial wives, if you get my drift. And the passports had extension sheets that would flop out, and the woman had, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 different names. What was this? Oh, I was married 3 years. What was it? Well, I was married for 3 weeks. Well, I was drunk and I shouldn't have married the guy. But all the names were there. We are in the middle of a war on terror where the 9/11 Commission warned us that in the hands of a terrorist, a passport is a weapon. But we can't get our act together and do something as simple and fundamental as adding a second name on a passport. And this is the broken system that Hillary Clinton insists should be brought to bear to provide lawful status to tens of millions of aliens whose identities can't be verified, whose entry data cannot be verified. So we don't know whether or not they pose a threat, but we're so eager to flood America with more aliens, more voters, more cheap labor, and we are screwing over national security. We are screwing over the future of our children. And these politicians have the temerity, the chutzpah, to talk about being concerned about our children and their future. What future in a country where roughly a third of your population is unemployed or underemployed? What future are we describing? What future? Drugs are flowing freely into the United States. You know, I do a lot of speaking events, and if any of you become aware of opportunities, you could certainly reach me through michaelcutler.net. I'm going to be in Washington this week, and then next Sunday I'm going to be in New Jersey. I'll be in Jersey again the following month. In December, I'm going to be in Pennsylvania. February, I'm going to be in Texas. I've been trying to get around the country to provide people with these perspectives. But you need to understand that this lack of integrity of the immigration system is destroying the middle class, permitting the flow of drugs into our country. And I love it when I'm in front of an audience. I'll say to them, well, do you know the way you can prove that our borders are not secure? And I get all kinds of crazy ideas. Look at these arrest statistics and that arrest statistics. And everyone goes through gyrations and they're not making the connection. So let me make a connection for you. The same borders that provide access for illegal aliens provide access for narcotics. There has never been more heroin flooding into America than right now. And it's not just coming across the Mexican border. It's coming in through seaports. It's coming in through international airports. It's coming across the Canadian border. And drug trafficking organizations don't mail a box of heroin to a post office. They don't post an ad in the paper. Would you like to buy a kilo of heroin? Send your check to. That doesn't happen. They move a drug trafficking cell, for lack of a better term, into a community. I compare it to a car dealership. You know, if you ever go to a car dealership, you have a salesman and you've got the mechanics and you got the money guys and you have the people who do the public relations and advertising. It's a whole organization with a lot of moving parts. Drug trafficking organizations are no different. They bring in the guy that runs that particular group, and he brings with him enforcers, people who have no problem killing, maiming, or torturing people that get in their way. They have people that are involved with moving the money, people that are involved with recruiting street-level drug traffickers. Very often it's kids, American kids, immigrant kids, doesn't much matter. And this happens not just from Latin America. You see it with the Russian mob, Asian organized crime, the Jamaican drug posses, the African groups, and of course the Latin American groups. We see it all over the world. Human nature, folks, is human nature. You know, this notion that we're going to seal off the Mexican border and the problem is solved is an absurdity. We've got to secure the border, but the whole immigration system needs integrity, but it never will, because the people we elect to positions of authority have no integrity. They're all bought and paid for. That's why we're in this mess. And that's why you see so much panic over Donald Trump, because he wants to spoil their picnic by talking about immigration the way nobody has. And everybody is in panic mode over it. So they move into a neighborhood, they peddle their drugs. The drugs is what leads to the violence. For all the talk about we got to get rid of the guns, how about getting rid of the gangs? How about getting rid of the narcotics? Why do we never see commercials on TV warning about drug abuse? The commercials for cigarette smoking are unbearable to watch. My father died of lung cancer, in part because he had a 3-pack-a-day Chesterfield habit, but also in part because he worked in the Navy shipyards during the Second World War, and I'm sure he was exposed to asbestos in the construction trades as well, but especially the shipyards. Because of the Sullivan brothers, the five brothers who died on a Navy ship during the Second World War, after that tragedy, that disaster, the military ruled that they would not take the sole surviving male member of a family into the military. Well, it turned out my dad's brother was already in the Army Air Corps. He was a couple of years older than my dad. So when my dad went to enlist, they said, no, your brother is already in. We can't take you. He tried repeatedly to get in. They wouldn't take him. So he said, okay, I know what. I'm a plumber. I can work on the ships. I got to do something to contribute to the war effort. My parents were amazing, patriotic Americans. I'm so proud of them. I lost them when I was in college, but I think of them every morning when I wake up. I think of them every night before I go to sleep. And so my dad worked in the shipyards on those ships because he felt he was contributing to the war effort, you see. But please understand the problem that we face. Back then, there was clarity. People understood that we were at war. We're at war now, and everyone is playing games, including our politicians. So you look at those commercials, and you say, wow, no one's going to smoke a cigarette the way they show the commercials, right? So you would think the politicians who have our best interests at heart would say, let's get a bunch of commercials out there to convince kids that not only shouldn't they be smoking, not only should they not be drinking and driving, not only should they not be driving without a seatbelt on, not only should they be not texting while they're driving. All those commercials are excellent. Great job. When was the last time you saw a good commercial specifically warning about heroin, cocaine, and crack and meth? Tell me. The 12th of never? Why? Could it be that the drug money is washing through the banking industry, Wall Street, real estate? Could it be that too many damn people are profiting because of the drug trade? Profit is what it's all about, isn't it? Isn't it? So if you want to look at where the violence is coming from, it's coming from the drug trade. In fact, the tactics used by the Mexican cartels and other cartels around the world is virtually indistinguishable from the violent tactics of terrorist organizations, including beheadings, torture. In Mexico, it's not unusual for them to behead somebody and hang a body off of a bridge and spray paint on the shirt, you know, which gang did it, and warning people, you go to the police, this is you next. this is your family member next. It's a hell of an advertising campaign. You see? If we're that concerned about the violence, if we're that concerned about the jail sentences that people are getting, but yet what did Mr. Obama do? Release people who had been convicted of federal-level narcotics trafficking. And generally, federal-level narcotics trafficking isn't the guy that's caught with a joint in his back pocket. Because if people believe that we shouldn't imprison somebody caught with a little bit of marijuana or caught with personal use amount of cocaine, I might agree with you. I think those people need help. They don't need a jail cell. Because once you put them in jail, you destroy their future. I agree with you. Let's try something different. But when you have somebody who's caught with tonnage of cocaine or any other drug, generally they're involved with firearms because the amount of money we're talking about is humongous. And this is a violent business. So they protect themselves. But think of the damage, the violence visited upon anybody who becomes hooked on a drug. If you gave me a choice of having a fist fight with somebody and winding up in the emergency room with a couple of missing teeth and a broken arm or being hooked on drugs, I'll take the beating any day of the week. Because the person that becomes addicted to drugs very often suffers for the rest of his or her life. That's some serious violence. The notion of nonviolent drug traffickers is an absurdity. It's a contradiction in terms. But we hear this all the time. And you look at the poverty of the inner city to see what happened in Baltimore, the rioting. Those were kids who are hopeless. They have no opportunities. What is the administration doing to provide opportunities for them to break the cycle of poverty and violence? Nothing. Nothing. And Hillary talks about wage equality at $10.10 an hour. And I know my Republican friends disagree, and I don't use the word friends the way that these glib politicians do. We're all Americans, and we're entitled to disagree. We should disagree when we really are sincere in our beliefs. That's how you celebrate the First Amendment. That's what every soldier who has fought for this country since its founding has fought and died for, so that we can have the disagreement peaceably. But I agree with raising minimum wages, only because we've seen too much corporate greed. We know that unless we force them to do the right thing, they ain't going to do it on their own. And if you want to break the cycle of violence and get people working, especially when they live in communities where many adults don't provide that positive role model of going to work every day, the money's got to be significant enough to justify setting an alarm in the morning. $8 an hour doesn't cut it. I don't care where you live. But $10.10 an hour works out to $20,000 or $21,000 a year. What does that make you equal to? So Hillary Clinton engages in her little bait and switch scheme. Oh, we're going to have wage equality, $10.10 an hour. And the fools out there are cheering her on like she just promised to buy them all a new car. This isn't supermarket sweepstakes. We need real opportunities for American citizens. Our kids need to know that if they're willing to work hard and study hard, that they can write the next American success story. And when I went before the Indiana State Senate about a month ago, Mike Delf, who's the chairman of the subcommittee of the Indiana State Senate, invited me, and they gave me over an hour to speak to the Senate. I said something that I think shocked them. I said, if there's anybody in this room that believes in the notion of the Latino voter, let me start out by telling you, you're a bigot and a racist. American citizens, no matter what their ethnicity, race, religion, skin color, whether their last name is Rodriguez or Goldstein or Jackson or Smith, we all want the same thing. And this also transcends political orientation. We want to live in a secure country where the military keep our enemies and the terrorists as far from us as possible. We want law enforcement to make our towns and cities as safe as possible. We want the schools to educate our kids effectively so that if they're willing to study hard and work hard, they can be successful. That's what we want. And to think that because somebody is a Latino, they want something different from that. There was a study done last week where they said, well, Latinos aren't that concerned about immigration. They're more concerned about terrorism and unemployment. Folks, this is the old nonsense of the pollsters. Immigration is one of the most important issues where national security and the threat of terrorism is concerned. The 9/11 Commission was crystal clear. It was multiple failures of the immigration system that permitted not only the 9/11 terrorists, but other terrorists to enter our country and embed themselves, hide in plain sight. So here you have a poll that says Latinos want exactly what everybody else wants. And by talking about Latino voters as though they're separate and distinct, we are creating within America a division where Americans who might be fifth generation, but whose last name might be Rodriguez or Garcia, you name it, Gonzalez, might think that they're not liked. Oh, Americans don't want those Latinos to come across the border. Folks, the immigration laws have nothing to do with Latinos. I've arrested people from just about every continent except Antarctica. I've arrested people of every ethnicity. You name it, I've arrested them. I've investigated them. If that's the way the law works, it's completely blind about those issues. The fantasy that has been created to divide and conquer Americans and Americans is causing great harm to this country. And only we, the people, can stop it. Any politician who tells you that we can't arrest 11 million illegal aliens, that same tired old number, so the only thing we can do is let them stay here and give them legal status. Anybody who says that to you needs to find a new way to make a living. If that person needs to be voted out of office, it's very simple. It's very simple. No laws get enforced more than a fraction of 1%. The immigration laws are no different. Every time a politician stands up and says, we can't deport and arrest all these people, so we need to give them legal status, whether it's citizenship or quote-unquote only legal status, is encouraging more massive numbers of illegal aliens to head for America. Politicians need to stand up and be crystal clear that, yes, there is a very big difference between coming legally and coming illegally. I like to tell people that the difference between an immigrant and an illegal alien is comparable to the difference between a house guest and a burglar. You're not antisocial if you lock your door at night to keep burglars out. You're not a xenophobe if you refuse to allow people to stay in the country when they came here illegally. When I was a kid, they used to get people to do really stupid things by telling them they were chicken. You won't jump off the roof, you're a chicken. You won't burn your hand, you're a chicken. And only a damn fool would fall into that trap and do something really stupid or dangerous. Today, they're doing the same thing with immigration. Oh, you're a xenophobe. You're afraid. You're playing on people's fears. Now, these aren't fears that are unreasonable, folks. Look at the 9/11 Commission report. Do you think that commission was afraid, or do you think they were trying to devise a strategy to figure out how to keep us safe? If seeking safety for our nation, for ourselves and for our children and their children, is somehow repugnant to a politician, politician is not only not representing you, that politician is not representing the best interests of America or Americans. It needs to be sent packing. That's the work Americans can and must do. Anyway, I really appreciate you spending time with me this evening. I would like very much for all of you to go to those websites I mentioned at the beginning of my program, michaelcutler.net, CAPSWeb, C-A-P-S, CAPSWeb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract, and have those discussions with your neighbors, folks. Get them to understand just how critical this immigration issue is. And take a hard look at what we're hearing from people like Hillary Clinton when they tell us how we have to open up the borders and lie about the purposes behind their statements and their goals. That's what this election's about. Let's have those conversations because, you know, as I always like to point out, democracy is not a spectator sport. Very important to be involved. The election's coming. Make sure to vote and make sure to vote from a position of knowledge. Look forward to seeing all of you again next week right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Meanwhile, folks, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week.